Blog Talk Radio.
A Monday warrior, mean stride. Today's Tom Sawyer, mean pride.
Good afternoon on the East Coast, good morning on the West Coast, and a great day whenever you may be listening. My name is Jason Dias, broadcasting live today in Braunfels, Texas, in the studios of eloquentonline.net in New Braunfels, Texas, Republic thereof. I've only been doing that intro since 2010. I don't know why I messed it up today. Maybe because it's the last day of school, and I'm looking forward to summer, circa 2018, in the year of our Lord, 2018. It's the last day of school here in New Braunfels, Texas, Republic thereof. And the name of the show, the Power Form, the show that asks the question, if your brand were a band, would you leave the audience wanting more? Would you really? Getting conflicting stories here. It seems like the majority of people agree that it is National Donut Day. But then I saw from Oak Tree Business Systems on Twitter just moments ago that it is also National Something Nice Day. So we'll have Samantha B in just a second to say something nice to everybody, but not really. But today we're talking about, the name of the episode is Panama 1988. And so we're going to talk about that, all things good and bad. I've been looking forward to summer of 2018 because it gives me a waypoint to look back, without a doubt. The summer of 1988, that was the summer, those 3 months, period of time right there, that's when I became me. All things, good and bad, and a lot of it was built into one of the most back-breaking trainings the U.S. Army had to offer its light infantry soldiers, single operations training course, which at the time was located at Fort Sherman, Panama, and it was a crucible. It was not for the of heart. And so we're going to talk about that in the context of leadership and experience. But got a couple of news items to get to first. Excited on the week of the 11th. On the week of the 11th, we'll be kicking off the Credit Union Market podcast, which is a production of the Cooperative Credit Union Association in conjunction with eloquentonline.net. First show is going to be with Paul Gentile. You know, every time you turn around, he's doing something. A few years back, the only time we've ever done a special episode out of rotation on this show since 2010, it's only happened once. It's when Paul Gentile publicly got out there and said, hey, you know what? If a credit union is performing really, really well, they need to be examined every year. Because it's not fun. Nobody says, hey, I can't wait till the examiners get here. And if you've got a good camel score, then you should not have to deal with this every single year. And I don't remember, it was maybe 3 or 4 years ago. It might even be more than that by now. As soon as the time you turn around, wherever Paul Gentile is, there is good, thoughtful, and innovative things going on. And the Cooperative Credit Union Association has started this training program to help financial professionals recognize when older Americans are being scammed, because it happens all the time. As all certainly know, there is still a generation that doesn't have an Snapchat account that associates a phone call and a letter in the mail must be important. And people are preying on older Americans. So the Cooperative Credit Union Association is out front training people on how to prevent that and how to spot it and how to keep older Americans from making really, really bad decisions. And of course, when you augment that, as you get older, some people have health issues, some people have memory issues and issues with confusion. It's a real sinister thing that's happening to a lot of older Americans. I'm sure anybody that works at a credit union or bank has seen examples of that. So we'll get you more details of that next week. On the 15th of June, New Ground is going to be back. One of the most show last year was when New Ground came on and talked about the experience economy, and such great, again, innovative thought people over at New Ground. So looking forward to that. And the formal co-host on this show, Dr. Troy Hall, is launching his Real Talk podcast in June. I think these are going to be really tight. You know, we took this show down from 30 minutes to 15 minutes as an audio blog because 30 minutes is a long time. So Dr. Troy is going to make it even tighter than that. And so if you want to find out more about that, you can find him on Twitter at Dr. Troy Hall, or you can check out his website, www.drtroyhall.com. So lots of great things going on. And that to me is just really a great example of what we've been talking about this year about the tempo of the marketplace has changed. That's why I was sort of giving some of those tweets a hard time. Then you put out a list of the top 100 something or the top 50 something. I don't know that that sounds a real attractive thing to spend your time on. And even today, I'm going to talk about something I saw over on through the NAFQ tweet, 10 necessary elements of a strong leader. I mean, I don't know. I think if you're going to do something that is 10 or 12 or something, you might want to cut that in half. Again, just in the context of the tempo of the marketplace. That's just an observation. We'll talk about that a little bit more in detail after the break. But what is incontrovertibly true is that you can read all the posts and affirmations. I continue to see people that want to turn LinkedIn into Facebook. And again, I can't tell you how to use social media. Don't tell me how to use social media. It's just an observation. It's just an observation. In the birthday thing, look, if we met once at a conference, you know, back in 2012, do you really need me to say happy birthday to you? Because I may not even remember where we met. I'm sure you have people like that on LinkedIn. You don't remember when you met or how you met and stuff like that. I didn't know why they added birthdays to LinkedIn. I'm an adult. I don't celebrate my birthday. I've always thought birthdays should end, I don't know, in high school when you celebrate it. But hey, again, these are my opinions, to each his or her own. So anyway, you can read all the posts, affirmation, books, and blogs you want, but real experience always trumps theory. Real results always trump good intentions. And that's why I say on my Twitter handle is I judge results, not intentions. Talk is never tantamount to something that is tangible. It is good to talk about things and it's good to theorize about things. But at some point, you need to have some results that you can point to. Like I said, I'm still sitting on a fascinating interview with someone from Filene, who are alleged to be the smartest, the hippest, the coolest, the most forward-thinking people in the credit union marketplace. And they're not, to be perfectly candid with you, but Jill Nowacki, the president of the Connecticut Credit Union League, has prevailed upon me to show a little grace with this. And I'm going to. I'm not sure if I'm ever going to use that. But if you ever needed any evidence that you would think that you talk to somebody over at Filene, at the very least, they should know what they do. If they have a title and a business card and a photo on the website, and they should be able to point to a credit union that they've actually helped with their ROI. And when I asked this person to name a credit union they'd help, she said the Wisconsin Credit Union League. And I had to point out that that's not a credit union. That's actually a collection of credit unions. And I'm like, why am I explaining things to people at Filene? I thought that was supposed to work the other way. Noticed the other day, Dan Berger had I think it was a tweet or a LinkedIn post, a 300% increase of growth at NAFQ. And people got on my case for calling them the Ascendant brand. What would you call them? As I said before, would the last person at CUNA please turn off the lights and turn off the air conditioner and lock the door on your way out? PowerPoint, CD, cassette, 45s. Where are you at on that continuum? If you want to be the strongest in your marketplace, if you want to be, you know, super wire tight, you have to have been strong in the first place. And so we're going to kick off the summer of 2018 with a very honest narrative. Just some things that I've observed over the past 6 months or so. The last fall, heading into the new year, here we are at the midway point of 2018. The tempo of the marketplace continues to just go so quickly. And it does seem, I know logically, that an hour today in terms of time is the same as it was 10 years ago, but it doesn't seem like it. It just seems like things are going by so very, very quickly. And so I want to talk to you about things that I learned and I continue to observe from my perspective as somebody who can combine a bit of age combined with experience and, of course, real results. You know, we post results on this show. Nobody else ever does that. People put up a podcast or something and they won't tell you how many people listen. I know that's not the most important thing, but I do believe it matters when you're asking people to invest their time in listening to things like this, an audio blog or a video blog or something like that. So we will talk about that, an honest narrative. It is conference quality information without the bullet points, without the rubber chicken dinner, and most importantly, without the expense report. Remember, you can always listen live or listen later. And don't forget, history is. You can change with it or you can get changed by it. We'll talk about the leadership blog that I was looking at on the NAPQ site today and some of my observations about leadership and things that I learned way back when in the grueling summer of 1988. And we'll do it all right after this. Absolutely right. A little Van Halen on your Friday morning as we're recording, well, broadcasting live, actually, on Friday morning, the 1st of June. It's summertime, last day of school here in New Braunfels. You can hear the sighs of relief of all the students looking forward to a great summer. I saw this today, the leadership blog. I always check this out. Dan Berger puts this out. And it was 10 necessary elements of a strong workplace culture. And they're all good. Like I said, it's just my observation that if you're going to post 10 of something, maybe it's a way to post 5 of something or the top 4 or something like that. And they're all very, very valuable. Companies viewed positively, everyone feels valued, legitimate sense of purpose, employees feel like they're part of a team, believes in diversity and inclusion, referrals come from employees, ability to learn new things, treat employees fairly, executive managers and coaches and mentors, and dedicated to employee health and wellness. And all that's great. The only thing I think is missing is, where's the accountability? How do you know that people are doing those things? Back in the summer of 1988, we were already a pretty seasoned group of light infantry soldiers that reported for duty down at the Jungle Operations Training Center. And again, this was one of those make or break you kind of schools, because we were about to get into some pretty serious stuff back in those days. The flashpoint of the Cold War was in Central America. That was our area of operation. There was also the drug interdiction stuff that was going on down in Central America, the Clear and Present Danger movie that I was involved in. In fact, they even cast a guy in that movie that looks kind of like me, or people used to say that, Benjamin Bratt. Hey, you know, you kind of look like Benjamin Bratt. But this school was about making sure that if you were going to get sent out into the jungle, that you could survive and you could handle it. And it was very, very tough. That picture I posted was actually on the cover of the Army Times, and it was after just an all-nighter, just walking and just grueling stuff like that. But it really was there to see. It was there to see if the people that they were going to select go down and do these really high-speed things on behalf of America's strategic plan could handle it, because you had to know. And all that stuff is great. And all the inclusion and diversity, I know that's very, very important in the modern American marketplace. I just don't see enough accountability out there. I mean, like I said, that conversation with Filene, how does a think tank that is alleged to be this forward-thinking, smartest people in the room kind of vibe. In fact, that's what this article Dan posted. What's the vibe of your work area? How could someone be so confused and so clueless about the mission of Filene? I still don't know, because she couldn't explain it to me. And all that stuff is great. But I think one of the things that sometimes is missing with these leadership blogs and stuff like that is accountability. You have to know that the person that is there is still doing the things they promised to do. And I always ask the question, are you being the person you were in the interview? And to me, that's something that's missing, and it was never missing when I was in the military. You had to prove that you could handle it. Every quarter, you had your physical abilities test. You had to take a PT test every quarter. You had to prove constantly that you were ready for duty, that you were ready for what was about to be some of the toughest stuff any of us ever did. And I know in the modern workplace, there's a lot of stuff around self-esteem and things like that, but nothing takes the place of experience. It's why, you know, all the people last year took their best shot at me, and it was whiff. You thought you had me down for the count, and all I've done is sign new business and sign new clients, just like I've always done. I enjoy seeing how people use social media. I enjoy seeing the limits of social media as well as the possibilities, and there are some pitfalls. Ask Roseanne Barr and Samantha Bee out there, but I don't consider it a technology that anybody has any right to say, here's how it should be used or here how it shouldn't be used. I watched in the year leading up to the year 2000 as these IT guys took on positions of influence in banks and credit unions all over the country because of Y2K, which was never going to be a problem. And it gave the IT discipline, prestige, and relevance and decision-making ability in the financial brands around the country to which they were not really entitled. And I'm not going to make that mistake again. I'm not going to let the millennials or Gen Y tell me what is or is not appropriate on social media. I don't use profanity. I never have. Yes, I can be a little irritated with things and a little hot-headed. But when you associate legitimate critique with being a cyberbully, I'm sorry, I'm just not going to accept that. You can say that, and you can get together with your friends on Facebook and say, hey, we're not going to do business with anybody who does business with this guy. Well, there's going to be a whole bunch of people you can't do business with in the coming months and years. And I'm going to keep doing what I do, which is showing up here every Friday and talking about things that are happening in the financial marketplace, as I've done since 2010, live from the studio of Eloquent Online here in beautiful New Braunfels, Texas, Republic thereof. My name is Jason Dyche. You've been listening to The Power of Performance, the show that asked the question, if your brand were a band, would you leave the audience wanting more? And until next we speak, I'll talk to you all next week. Take care.
That's all, folks.